Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, and this morning's conversation is with Pat Donahue. Pat's the Chief Operating Officer of the U.S. Postal Service, and joining us in our conversation is Bill Takis. Well, Pat, the transformational plans you spoke about call for growth through customer value, and I understand the Postal Service is looking to expand the way its products are provided. I have a personal experience using the kiosk in a nearby post office, and I found it just very effective. So I'm curious about the kiosk, about how services will be provided through that.
Well, one of the goals that we've got, again, is to make doing business with the Postal Service very, very easy. And I mentioned before, you can actually mail a package online these days, right from the comfort of your den at your house on the computer, and we'll pick it up. But one of the other things we have been rolling out in this past year, starting in April, what we call the automated postal centers, and that's been a personal issue with me. I love that machine. You can go in and use one of these. We call them an APC, automated postal center. Debit credit card, you can buy stamps, you can mail a package. You can do about 80% of any transactions that you would do at a window on one of these machines. They're very quick, they're easy, they're convenient. We started rolling them out in April, and we right now we've got 2,500 going out between April of this year and November. We're at about 1,800 right now, business-wise. We've just since we started in April, we've done about $29 million worth of postage at these kiosks. They're very convenient. Jokingly, I've used them. I've used them in Alaska. I've used them in California. I've used them in Washington, D.C. An inside joke is that we see how fast we can get stamps out of the machine. So, from standing at that machine, getting your debit card out and swiping it and keying it, my personal best is 27 seconds. So it sure beats having to wait in line. And that's the key thing for us. I mean, we have really one of the other aspects of revenue generation is not just giving people options, but also trying to make the visit to the post office a more pleasant experience, so they don't have to wait in line. So they have a choice. You can use if you want to buy a book or two of stamps, you use the automated postal center.
Well, just out of curiosity, something like the APC, how long does it take to develop a product like that? So that had how long of a lead time?
That's an interesting question. It took us probably a little longer to develop that than we would have liked to. That process has been in the development phase for almost 4 years. But what happened was, we're kind of glad it took that long, because if you looked at technology 2 years ago, what we would have put out there would not have been very good. I mean, when you look at vending technology and the difference between the machine's capability in vending versus what you have now, a lot of those improvements have occurred just in the past couple of years. So when the technology was there and it presented itself in a way that we said this is the right thing, we pretty much condensed everything down to about 6 months with the purchase, the development, and the machines are rolling out right now as quickly as we can get them out.
How have the customers accepted them? Are they as excited as you are?
They love them. Customers, well, if you think about it, my own personal story goes, I've probably been in a bank about 10 times since 1975 when I got my first ATM card. So customers are used to ATMs. They like pumping gas. I mean, think about when you go to the gas station, you use a debit card and credit card, pay for gas. And it's the same with us. The people really like the convenience, and they're not afraid of the machine. I mean, we have people, part of the rollout was to have a lobby director, so that if a person came in, we could walk them through the process. What we find is people get in there, read the instructions, pull out a debit card, and 1, 2, 3, they're buying stamps right there, mailing packages. It's a simple process, and it's a convenient process.
And lots of them are open 24/7, I understand, so you can go even when a post office is closed?
That was the goal. We have worked to over the past few years to expand the number number of 24-hour operations that we've got. You can put this machine, the way we've set them up, we put them in what's called the box lobby, so that's the 24-hour access. We also have got collection receptacles, so if you want to mail a package, you rate it, you put the meter strip on it, and you can drop it right into a secure box and know that nobody else will touch that package if it's there all night long.
Well, it sounds like a wonderful way to get your customers more convenient access to you. What are some of the other things? You mentioned carrier pickup from your home and other programs.
The carrier pickup is something that, again, that we're very happy, very proud about. That's again, simply using technology that exists out there today. If a person can go on the internet, they can weigh and rate a package, and then actually go with a click of a button, send a message to their local post office that says, I have two or three packages. I'd like you to stop by and pick them up tomorrow. We do that across the country. I mean, we've got that system set up in over 30,000 locations across the country where someone coming by on one of the delivery visits I mentioned earlier in the program just stops and either picks mail up that's left on your porch, or if you leave a note at the door, we'll pick it up and get that package on its way.
Now, Paul, at the end of the last segment mentioned the term intelligent mail, and a lot of people in the industry have heard that term. Can you tell us a little bit about that and what that's doing to help change the operations of the Postal Service?
Well, again, with technology, we have the ability not just to read addresses and sort mail. We also have the ability to pull information off of mail pieces. So as barcode technology has changed, not just in the Postal Service, but in what you see today, whether you're at the grocery store or you're at the airport with your baggage, you get a tag with a barcode on it. You know, that kind of information can be picked up off of an envelope and provide some intelligence about the envelope itself. Information like the mailing date, information like a customer ID number that a customer might want to put on there, so they can go then into our tracking systems through a process called Confirm and actually see where that mail piece is. You know, this is an ongoing process, intelligent mail. We see a lot of value for the customers besides just the physical delivery, but information and the ability for customers to use that information to change the way they do their business.
Now, what about the impact of various other types of technology on your business? I know with the increase of the internet, and you talked a little bit about it before, and different ways to pay bills online, how has that affected the way that you do business and the overall volumes that you see and various other aspects of your business?
Well, one of the concerns that we do have, Bill, is, as I mentioned earlier, the flattening revenue and also the change in the mail mix. We will deliver 208 billion pieces of mail this year, but this will be the first year that we have more standard mail than first-class mail. It's the first year. Now, the concern for that, is the fact that with standard mail, there's less contribution to the bottom line of the organization. So as mail moves from first class to standard, that makes efficiencies and cost reductions all that more important. From a technology standpoint, though, we look at electronic diversion as a fact of life. It's going to change with demographics. As younger people enter into the general economy, they're going to pay bills and receive bills online. We understand that. We are working very hard in the entire industry, though, again, through things like intelligent mail, through things like click and ship, through just working with small business to generate interest in the mail itself, to provide value in the mail. If you think about it, if you're a small business and you want to contact customers, let customers know about your business, you have options. We want to make mail one of those options. We want customers to start saying, hey, I can send out 1,000 postcards, or I can send out 500 letters, and know that somebody is actually going to open the mailbox, look and see that correspondence. We think there's a lot of value there, and we think there's opportunities to move into those areas to make up for some of the diversion.
You've described several new initiatives the Postal Service is undertaking. How do you measure the success of these initiatives?
Well, it's the bottom line. I mean, if when you take a look organizationally, we're a $68 billion organization. you have to have big ideas that mean something in order to make a difference in that $68 billion. Now, fortunately, there is mail that's in the system day in, day out, just by the nature of you know, advertising or bill payment and bill presentment. We are, you know, you can work on the fringe, or you can get into some other areas that maybe you're not that comfortable in. We don't want to do that. What we are interested in is generating value around mail. As I had mentioned earlier, with small business people who aren't in the mail right now, we think there's a lot of value in there. And that will have a positive effect on that $68 billion enterprise. Again, if you take a look just from an advertising, the advertising spend on a national basis is over $200 billion a year. We probably have about 21%. If we were able to pick up another 2 percentage points on that, you know, you're talking $400, $500, $600 million extra dollars that goes to our bottom line, and that's where we're looking.
That's an interesting point. I didn't realize the advertising spend was so large, and there's so much there for you. What changes are ahead for the Postal Service, and what does the future hold? We'll ask Pat Donahoe of the Postal Service to give us his perspective when the Business of Government Hour returns.